we are still in the very early part of ordinary time. And today we will be talking about things in the gospel which are very close to my heart. And I will be really opening my heart to you today. But before we go to the gospel, let us look at first our first reading. Our first reading speaks of a people who are walking in darkness. And it was prophesied that place was Zebulun and Naphtali. And sabi doon sa prophecy, then those people walking in that place of darkness have seen a great light. And we know who that light is. Now, hindi to physical na darkness. Hindi dahil patay ang ilaw, hindi dahil walang kuryente, may brownout. When you talk of a people walking in darkness, you are talking of people without hope. Alam mo yung taong walang pag-asa sa buhay, madilim na. Madilim ang paningin, madilim ang muka. Kaya minsan maririnig mo sa balita, you will hear in the news, sinaksak ng kapatid ang kapatid niya. Nung ini-interview na, sasagutin niya, nandilim kasi ako. Okay? Nandilim ako. Hindi ko na alam yung gagawin ko. Hindi ko alam ang ginagawa ko. Nandilim ako. You see, that's a picture of a person who has lost hope. And today, we see this in our nation today, especially with the young people. Nakakalungkot because when I would encounter young people and they talk about our situation in the Philippines, most of them would plan to go abroad, aalis na lang sa Pilipinas dahil wala nang pag-asa yung bayan natin na magbago pa. They lost hope. And again, we see that in the Old Testament that it was prophesied, it was said that light will come. There is someone who will bring hope in the darkness of our situation, the darkness of our lives. The Messiah, and we know who that Messiah is, the Christ will come and bring light to the world. Amen? Our second reading talks about calling, the calling of God. And Paul was reminding the Christians at the time in Corinth, because they have already prospered, they started to have, they have spiritual gifts. Some of them, you know, manifest the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And Paul reminded them, sabi niya, do not forget, huwag niyong kalimutan, before God called you, you were nothing. Not many of you are wise, even in the standards of the world. Walang-wala naman kayo bago kayo tinawag ng Diyos. And he was reminding the Christians about that. Because sometimes we can be too proud, especially when God begins to bless our lives. Dati nag-umpisa tayo, wala naman tayong pag-aari sa mundo. No? Many of us are nobodies. But sometimes when the Lord's favor comes upon you, blessings begin to come. And when the blessing begin to come, sometimes you feel you are somebody now and you look down on others. But God is telling us, you know, don't forget that. Some of us are bestowed with spiritual gifts. Noong una, wala naman tayong alam sa mga spiritual na bagay. Wala tayong alam sa salita ng Diyos. Wala tayong alam sa power ng Holy Spirit. But then, because God called us, suddenly we walked in the power of the Holy Spirit. We learn to pray, we learn to meditate on scriptures, and suddenly we become spiritual giants. Pero sinasabi ni St. Paul, oops, don't forget. Amen? Don't look down on brothers who are not spiritually mature or spiritually endowed. Huwag mo silang maliitin dahil ikaw nakaangat na sa kanila. Okay? Just remember, before God called you, you were nothing. Amen? And this should always be something in our mind, you know? And for me personally, I always put this in my mind. Now that I am bishop, now that I am doing great things for the kingdom of God, may my heart not be lifted up. I remind myself, before the Lord called me, I was a wretched sinner. I am not a man, but a worm. Okay? Para hindi ko makalimutan. so that none of us can boast, none of us can glory in the presence of God. And if we are going to boast, we will not boast of ourselves, we will only boast of Christ who has made the difference in our lives. Now we go to the gospel. Our gospel today starts with Jesus hearing that John the Baptist has been imprisoned. No? When Jesus heard that John the Baptist has been in prison, he departed to Galilee. Okay? And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali. Okay? This is very important that we understand geography. Maintindihan natin. Because where God sends you and where God puts you is important. If you are in the wrong place and you put yourself in the wrong place sa mga lugar na ayaw ng Diyos para sa iyo, you may be doing the work of God. You may be praying, but definitely you will not get the blessing of God. You have to be in the right place in the right time. Amen? This is important. Now take note, upon hearing of John the Baptist's arrest, Jesus immediately went into the region of Galilee. Okay? Jesus was heading straight at the very heart where the wicked Herod reigns. You know, this is important to note. Nung nalaman ni Jesus na hinuli na si John the Baptist, sino nagpakulong sa kanya? Ha? King Herod. King Herod did not like him because he prophesied, he rebuked him because he took his brother's wife, married his brother's wife, which is unlawful at the time. And so Herod imprisoned John the Baptist. Now, si John the Baptist was preaching in the southern part of Israel. When Jesus heard this, he went to Galilee and settled in Capernaum. It seems to us na tumakas si Jesus. Nagtago siya. You know, kasi nahuli na si John dun sa south, so he went north. You see, that's not Jesus. When he went north, he actually went to the place where Herod was. Kung saan yung Haring Herod na nagpahuli, doon siya pumunta sa lugar na yan. And the first thing we have to realize in our gospel today, Jesus would not flee away from evil. Jesus will not run away from darkness. And this is the first lesson we have to understand in our life. In the face of evil, in the face of corruption, in the face of wickedness, we are not to run away from it, but we are to stand our ground. And this is important. Kasi nung nalaman ni Jesus, pinahuli niya si John the Baptist, immediately he went. He went right and straight to where Herod was. And there, what did he do? He confronted the evil. He did not confront it violently. He did not confront evil as a retaliation nagabagos ng taimaw kay Herod. He did not go there to retaliate, to take revenge. He went there not in violence, not in retaliation. He went there to encounter evil. He manifested the kingdom of God. And that is what we are going to do. Amen? If there is a problem in the family, when darkness begins to surround your family, don't leave your family behind. Don't run away. Be present with your family and confront the darkness there with the manifestation of the kingdom of God. And in Jesus' way, what did he do? How did he manifest the kingdom of God? That is where he started his public ministry. doon nag-umpisa si Jesus sa kanyang ministry. You know? It seems like that the imprisonment of John the Baptist prompted Jesus to start his public ministry. Amen? One theologian said, the wrongful imprisonment of John triggered the rightful ministry of Jesus. Amen? Many of us came to Christ dahil nagkaroon tayo ng mga problema sa buhay. We came to Christ. And some of these problems that we face in our life prompted us, pushed us to come to God. Hindi ako pumunta sa Liberty Theater and to the Army of the Lord dahil wala akong problema. The first time I met our bishop, Bishop Ricardo, I was steep in problems. I was desperate. Nalulun ako sa malaking problema and I have nowhere to go, but I came to him. Sometimes in our life, the problems we face, sometimes we think that is supposed to destroy us. The situations we are having in life, feeling natin pinapatay tayo, sinisira tayo. But you know, come to think of it, could it be possible that the problems you are facing now is actually God positioning you? Amen? Sometimes God uses opposition to position us into ministry. Ganun ang nangyari kay Jesus. After John was in prison, then he started his public ministry. He went to the very heart of the problem, the darkness. Kaya sinasabi niya ni Isaiah noon, prophesied many years before Jesus came, the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. Kaya magtatanong kayo, bakit pumunta dun si Lord sa Galilee? Because that place is the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. It was already prophesied that the Messiah will begin his work there. Amen? I'm getting out of my notes. Jesus did not flee from evil, neither should we. He would not be silenced or intimidated. And the truth of the gospel shines forth the brightest when we lovingly and prudently stand fast in the face of evil and refuse to flee. Okay? Jesus was not running away from the problem. Nahuli si John, tumataka siya. No, he was not running away from the problem. He confronted evil. He went to the dark place. He went to that place of despair. And there he shined. Because the gospel, your life will shine brightest when you stand your ground in the midst of evil, in the midst of injustice, when you are not silenced and you are not intimidated, but continue to manifest the kingdom of God in your life. That's the first point. Now, I have 4 points that I would like to share with you today. And the second point is this. Again, pakikita natin, when Jesus settled there, he went around by the Sea of Galilee and found 2 brothers, Peter and... Sinong brother ni Peter? Okay. Sino yung brother ni Apostle Peter? Okay. Si Andrew. Okay. So they were fishing. Why? Because they were fishermen. Now, again, the second thing we have to realize in our life is that God is calling us. when Jesus went there to confront evil, He plans to gather His people. He plans to bring us together. And mission is very important to us. That is something we need to understand. Kaya nung nakita niya si Peter and Andrew, you know what he said? Follow me, and I will make you fishers of man. This is a play of words. Because we all know Peter and Andrew were professional fishermen. Hindi tong naglalaro-laro lang sila, hobby nila maminwit. No, they were businessmen. Okay, may negosyo sila. And at that time, in that place, fishing was a thriving. Malakas na negosyo yan. And Peter and Andrew had that industry, that enterprise, and they were professional fishermen. And when Jesus found them, He said to them, "You follow me, and I will make you fishers of man." No? It seems to me, in this play of words, Jesus is also interested in our talents, our skills, our abilities, and He intends to use that also. He is also interested with our weaknesses. Pinipili niya tayo with everything we have because He intends to use whatever you have. Your weaknesses may be something bad. Isipin mo, hindi kasi ako ganito. Hindi ako nakapagtapos. Hindi ako matalinong tao. You know, hindi ako influential. That is a weakness of my life. But do you know what? When Jesus finds you, He's interested with that weakness. Because He can turn and do something extraordinary with the weakness that you have. The first thing I said when I was offered the office of the bishop, nung sinabi nila magiging bishop ka, I turned it down. Why? I am not worthy. Some of you know where I came from. Some of you know my dark life and sin and everything. Kung merong taong nakakaalam ng kasalanan ko, ako mismo. And the way I gauge myself, I said, no, hanggang deacon lang sana ang gusto ko. But then, I was ordained as a priest. Pagdating dun sa pagkapari, sabi ko, hanggang pari lang. And I stopped. I said, no more. I'm still here. I'll just be a priest. I will live faithfully as a priest and I will die as a priest. And suddenly, I was offered to become a bishop, your bishop. And I said, no. I am nothing. I have nothing in my life that I believe I can use to become a good bishop to you. But then here we see this. When Jesus came to them, sabi niya, fishermen kayo? Yeah. Okay. I will make you fishers of men. You will still be fishing, but not with fish anymore, but people. Jesus is interested in your skills, in your profession, in your career, whatever it is that you have. If we can only bring that to Christ, He can turn it into something extraordinary. Weeks before my consecration as a bishop, I went out. I avoided people. And I just came before God and I said to God, what do I have? And I assessed my life. Sabi ko, lahat ng meron ako, hindi naman akin eh. Alam nyo ba yan? Pati buhay ko, hindi nga akin eh. Bigay ng Diyos yan. So what can I offer God that does not belong to God? What do I have that really belongs to me that I can offer to God? Pag sinabi ko yung time ko, bigay din ng Diyos yan.
Pag sinabi kong yung lakas ko, Lord, ibibigay ko sa iyo, bigay din ng Diyos yung lakas ko. And when I started to contemplate, what do I really have na akin talaga na pwede kong ialay sa Diyos, sabi ko kay Lord, walang wala ako, Lord. And this is what God said to me, you have your sins. Nandyan yung mga kasalanan mo at kahinaan mo. Sa'yo yan. And I said, you know, I give you my sins. At least akin yan. Pwede kong ibigay. And I gave. I gave Christ my failures, my sins. And I became a bishop, not because of perfection, not because of the excellence of my life. I became a bishop because of weakness. Kaya tama yung sinasabi sa second reading, you know, huwag niyong kalimutan, ha? Think of when the Lord called you. You were nothing. And it would be wise that we remind ourselves about that. Kung doon ka na sa tugatog, if you are in the peak of your success, do not forget, you did not start life from there. Hindi ka nag-umpisa dyan. Dito ka sa baba ng galing. At may mga taong dyan din nag-uumpisa ngayon, huwag mo silang maliitin. If you are now in your life at a point where you are not struggling with sin anymore, you have grown in the Lord, don't look down on people who are just beginning to find their place with God. Nag-uumpisa pa lang sila. Don't look down on them. God is going to use whatever it is that He can see in us. He's interested with our life, our talents, our careers. Ano bang meron ka ngayon? Yung career mo, yung talent mo, your abilities, your interests, yung mga hilig mo. Gagamitin ni Lord yan. Your interest, your experiences of failures in the past, your sins, everything we have will always lead us to the form of other people. Alam niyo ibig sabihin niyan? They would lead you to the form of other people. Whatever you have can be used by God to fit another person just like you. Amen? Kaya hirap ako minsan kausapin yung taong mabait talaga. Nung pinanganak siya, talagang mabait na at walang kasalanan. Hirap akong kausapin because that is not my experience. But you send me to someone who is so sinful, someone na talagang magulo ang buhay, you send me there and I can bring Christ to him easily. Why? Because that's where I came from. That is my experience. In your life, you look at your life. God can use you, your talents, your bad experiences, everything you have in your life, God can use that to fit into the life of another person. You know? When we were in Antique, merong magaling na evangelist na pumunta doon. And I asked him to talk to one of the businessmen in Antique. Sabi ko, kausapin mo to. Kasi yung evangelist na yun, matalino. He's a good theologian. He's brilliant. Napagagaling niya. And meron isang businessman doon na kaibigan ko. I know he's searching for Jesus. So I invited this evangelist because I could not speak the way he speaks. Ang galing niya magsalita. Matalino siya. Sabi ko, siguro makikinig tong kaibigan kong businessman na to dahil matalino din yung dadalhin ko. Then, I brought that evangelist to him and they talk. Ang galing, nakikinig ako, parang gusto kong ma-born again ulit. You know? Ang galing niya. After they talk, I went to my friend and I said, so, How was it? Are you now ready to receive Jesus in your life? And my friend said, no way. Ayaw ko. And I said, you're that evangelist. So I was so disappointed. Bakit hindi niya tatanggapin si Lord? And I talked to him. Sabi ko, alam mo, napaka G-A-G-O mo, kagaya ka talaga sa akin. And I talked to him. And he cried and he said, now I will going to accept Jesus. And I was surprised. Nung akong kumausap sa kanya, he's willing to give his life to Christ. Why? Because I fit into his form. He was able to relate to me and I was able to relate to him. There are people in the world that bishops cannot reach out. Alam niyo ba yan? Hindi lahat ng tao sa mundo kaya ng isang obispo i-reach out. There are people in the world that no brilliant theologian can reach out. Only you can reach out that person because of what you have that God can use. The third point, it may be helpful to consider the call of the first apostles from their perspective or vantage point. Alam mo, palagi natin nakikita yan sa Bible. No? Tinawag ni Jesus si Matthew, follow me. Bilis, follow ka agad. Diba? Nung sinabihan niya si Peter and Andrew, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. They left their nets and they just followed Christ. Diba? When Jesus met James and John, ang sabi lang ni Jesus sa kanya, come, follow me. And they left their boat. They left their father who is very important to them. Iniwan kagad nila yung tatay nila and they followed Christ. We think it's easy. But look at the call of God from the perspective of these apostles. Peter had a business. Minsan kasi tayo, ayaw natin sumunod kay Lord. Kasi complicated ang life ko. Marami akong responsibilidad. You look at them. Akala natin na itong mga taong ito, yung mga tinawag ni Lord, happy-go-lucky adventurers na namamasyal lang sa mundo, walang direksyon ng buhay. No. Peter was a businessman. Peter is responsible for hired workers. Meron silang mga tauhan na sinisweldohan niya. The apostles had families to take care of. They have children to take care of. They have clients. Meron silang mga kliyente. Meron silang mga business associates. Their life is complicated as well. But when the Lord called them, dito mo makikita kung gaano kalakas, gaano ka-powerful ang tawag ng Diyos at gaano din kahanda ang puso nila to follow immediately. If God is calling you in your life, it would be foolish for you to say that, you know, Lord, busy ako eh. Lord, may business ako eh. Bakit ito wala? Itong mga ton na ton ang tinawag ni Lord, akala nyo ba, mga palaboy-laboy lang yan sa lansangan? No. They had a life. They have families. Their lives are complicated. They have people that depend on them. That's why we don't make excuses like that. You know, importante kasi ako, may career ako. Eto, they had careers. We have to realize that when God calls us, and if we dismiss that calling of God dahil busy tayo, if God calls you and you dismiss that call dahil, you know, marami akong pera eh, marami akong obligasyon, you know, those excuses, if you dismiss that call, you are dismissing one of the greatest opportunity of your life. The opportunity to work for the kingdom of God. Not everyone can work in that kingdom. So like the apostles, what is our response? Ano ba yung response natin? We have to consider that. And the fourth and last point that I would like you to see here. Sinulat ko talaga. The fourth and final point. The first apostle's readiness to respond to Jesus' invitation with faith and trust must be viewed in a greater context. You look at the bigger picture when Jesus called them. Their only response was faith, and they trust, and so they said yes. The bigger context is this. When Jesus invited them to follow him, Jesus did not say where they will go. Have you noticed that? And Jesus did not also say, until when will you follow me? Hanggang kailan? They did not know what is required. They simply said yes because they have faith and they trust Jesus. If God is calling you, if God is inviting you to work with him, he doesn't answer your question. Ano bang akin dyan? Magkano bang makukuha ko dyan? Ano bang makukuha ko pag sumunod ako sa iyo? You know, God does not answer questions like that. And God does not call you so you can respond in your own terms. Ang sabi lang ng Diyos sa kanila, alika, sunod ka sa akin. Naalala ko nung grade school ako, yung eldest brother namin. Pag umuwi siya early from school, palaging may pera yan. And when he goes, oh, sunod kayo, sigaw ka agad kami, mga maliliit na kapatid. We said, yes! Because he would go and buy ice cream, so kakain kami ng ice cream. Or sometimes he goes, pupunta siya sa tindahan, bibili ng soft drink. So pag sinabi niya, oh, sinong sasama? Sigaw ka agad kami. Kami, kami, kami. So my younger brother would run. Tatakbo kami. Kasama doon yung eldest namin. At ibibili niya kami kung ano. So one time, nandoon kami sa bahay. Sabi niya, sinong sasama? Sigaw kami. Yay, kami, kami, kami. Susunod kami sa kanya. Tapos pumasok sa banyo. Sabi niya, halina kayo. Yun pala, mag-CCR siya. Sasabayin kami. Hindi niya sinabi kung saan siya pupunta. It's the same thing with Christ. The call of God in your life and the journey that you have to take with Him is open-ended. He doesn't tell you where you will go. Amen? He doesn't tell you where you would go. He doesn't tell you what you would be doing. It seems like God doesn't tell us anything. It's just that He wants us to respond only with faith and trust. When I was in Antique for more than 30 years, nasa Antique ako. The first time I was sent there by our bishop, I did not like to go there. Because I have friends here. And this is the church, the army of the Lord, dati was the church I have fallen in love with. But then, Bishop Dick was strong and stern. Sabi niya, no, there is a call in your life, but you have to get out of here. So he sent me out to Antique. When I arrived there, I did not like the place. I did not like the people. I did not like my environment. So after a few months, I went back and I asked him, sabi ko, pauwiin mo ako dito. Mamamatay ako dun. I will die there. And he said, no, you will not die. Go back, go back. So after a few months, I came back again. And I said, I have to be here. I am spiritually dying because I don't get a feeding. Naintindihan nyo yan? Kasi dito kasi sa Army of the Lord doon, makikinig ako sa bishop natin. Ang galing niya magturo. And I get so inspired, I get so alive dahil sa mga teaching niya. If I go to Antique, I was there alone. And I said, I am dying spiritually, I have no more feeding from the Word of God. And this is what he said to me, learn to feed yourself. You are dependent on me. Nakikinig ka lang sa akin sa salita ng Diyos na sinasabi ko. Now, umuwi ka sa Antique at makinig ka sa Diyos mismo. And you feed yourself. So I was really angry at him. Akala ko talaga, killjoy lang siya. Akala ko talagang pinaparusahan niya. Akala ko talagang malupit na tao siya. And so I was angry. I got mad. And I stayed there in Antique until the day I decided I will give my heart to the Lord. My heart that is angry, my heart that is frustrated, I decide to give it to the Lord. And a few years' time, this is what happened. I fell in love with Antique. I fell in love with the mountains of Antique. I fell in love with the ocean in Antique. I fell in love with the people of Antique. I fell in love there, that place. Nung gustong-gusto ko na yung Antique, I said to my family, if I would die, I want to be buried here. So that every November 1, all my children, wherever they are, they go home to Antique. At dun kayo mag-o All Saints Day with me there lying in the ground in Antique. I've fallen in love with the place. I love it there. I enjoy that place so much. Amen? At pag pumupunta ako dito, the bishop would not allow me to celebrate the Eucharist. Hindi niya ako pinapamisa dito. Have you noticed that? Hindi ako nagbimisa dito. Kahit nandito ako, ayaw niya. Sabi niya, sa Antique ka. So ayaw niya magmisa ako dito, baka magtagal ako. I want to go back. The day he was hospitalized and he entered the COVID facility, I came home. I went back here. Takot ako dahil dito na nga yung COVID. Doon sa amin sa Antique, wala, hindi pinapansin ng COVID doon. Okay, nagtitik-tok-tik-tok lang ako doon sa Antique, you know. And, you know, we have fun there. Pwede ka pumunta sa beach. When I learned that he got sick and he was hospitalized, I decided to come home. I came here. And nung dumating ako, gusto ko siyang kausapin kasi pinapasarado na yung church natin. Hindi pa dumating yung letter of closure, ako mismo nagsarado ng church. And I was afraid dahil ako yung pare na nagpasarado ng St. Michael. And I wanted to talk to my bishop, but I cannot talk to him. He was inside the COVID facility. Tinatawagan ko siya, hindi siya makontak. Until night time, Saturday ng gabi, I will not forget, at somewhere 8 o'clock in the evening, sinubukan ko bago matulog. I called him up. Pumasok yung tawag ko. And I was the last person who was able to talk to him that night. And this is what he said. He said many things to me, but this is what I remembered. Sabi niya sa akin, Sunday pala bukas, no? Baka gusto mo magmisa. For the first time, he asked me to celebrate the Eucharist here. Wala pa yung bishop, wala pa yan sa isip ko. He just said, would you like to celebrate the Eucharist tomorrow? And I said, no. I'm here for you. I'll be here outside your door. If you need anything, I'll be waiting for you here. And then, sabi niya, iniisip ko lang naman kasi baka gusto mo magmisa. He said it the second time. I said, no, I'm not here for the mass. I'm here for you. Hindi, kasi baka gusto mo. Three times, he told me to do the Eucharist here on Sunday. For 30 years, never invited me to celebrate the Eucharist. That was the only time he said, mag-Eucharist ka. Alam mo, hindi ko alam na ililipat na ako ng Diyos dito. I have no idea. Remember, I wanted to go back to Antique already. Kaya nung nangyari na, finally Bishop Ricardo passed away and I was here. Nung namatay siya, I just waited for all the priests na gumaling na yung mga pare para makauwi na ako sa Antique. Nung gumaling na lahat ng pare, lumabas na sila sa quarantine nila. Sabi ko, uwi na ako sa Antique. I'll go back. Finally, home sweet home. But then, our bishop said, yung interim bishop natin, you are not going home. You will stay here. Take care of the church. Walang usapan na ganyan. Bakit ganyan? And you fast forward it, now I'm your bishop. The call of God in my life, I did not know I will end becoming a bishop. Di bang sabi ko sa inyo, hanggang pari lang. But here I am. Because we never decide when it comes to our calling, it's always God. It's always God. The call of God in your life is open-ended. He doesn't tell you where. He doesn't tell you what you're going to be. He doesn't even tell you how you get there. The only response that we can do to God when He calls us is we say, yes, by faith and in trust of Him. Don't ask Him questions because He will not answer those questions. And don't even think to lay conditions on God because God does not listen to your conditions and He doesn't respond to your terms. This week, if you hear a voice inviting you, this week, this is the start of ordinary time, and I know you're praying, some of you are seeking to improve your prayer life and your spiritual life. If this week, this following weeks, you will hear from God inviting you, calling you for heaven's sake, say yes. Huwag kayong tatanggi, just say yes.